a life of thanksgiving, a heart of thanksgiving, a spirit of thanksgiving within you that flows from you every day. So when we say thanksgiving, what do you think of? You think of Thanksgiving Day, most of us. We think of that day in November when we can go slaughter the turkey, we can get all the good stuff in the ham and get it all on the table. It's a day on the calendar for most. It's an occurrence sometimes for us, for those of you that have dodged a bullet in your life. You know what I'm saying? You've just dodged that big thing coming down at you like a freight train, and you've prayed and God has made a way, or you sidestepped it for a season. That can be a moment of thanksgiving as well. And those are great moments. It's a day when you get married or you marry your last child off. Those are great days. If you're getting married, there's that joy in the heart. When you're marrying that last child off, you're going, ha-ha, empty nest. Here it comes down the tracks. We're about to achieve what we've always worked for. And it's a good day because it's a healthy day. It's a day when you've raised your kids well, they're going on, they're making a family, and it's good. It may be a new job. That can be a day of Thanksgiving if you haven't had a job for a while, or it's the job you've always wanted, a promotion. Those are good things. Any of these things resonating with anybody out there? Okay. How about a new house? A new car? Sometimes it don't even have to be new. It just has to be running. That's helpful. That's helpful. A new baby. Man, if you're newlyweds, a new baby comes. Or you're just in love and you're growing your family and this is the second child or the third child. But how about those grandchildren when they come down the pike? Now there's a day of Thanksgiving. I mean, you can spoil their little carcasses and send them back home, and you're happy, and they're happy. Not so sure about those that are receiving them back, but two of you are happy. A good report from the doctor about anything in your life, or that your disease is in remission. Those are days of Thanksgiving. But those aren't the only things we're talking about. We're talking about, today we're going to talk about living a life of everyday Thanksgiving, living a life where I get up and I breathe and say, thank you, Lord, for the fresh air I breathe. Thank you for the warm bed I woke up in this morning and heat in the house. Thank you for running water. Have you ever lost your water, got up and there's no water? Dude, that ain't no fun. That is primitive. That is, what do we do now? Or you come in the house, we came in the house after work the other day, and the lights were gone. There were something blue down the line somewhere, and I went, and I'll bet in the kitchen, I flipped that kitchen light about four times. My wife says, it ain't going to turn on any better this time than it was the last time. She wasn't being sarcastic, but we sure had fun with it for a while. Because you get the candles out and you get the little battery things out and you try to do, and I'm going, you pilgrim folks, you had quite a job ahead of you. So I want you to hear all the things that I just listed are good things. They are great things. They're things to give thanks for. But so are the things to make up our everyday living. How about our salvation? That's something to be thankful for. Our home, our bed, food. Who in here hasn't had food in the last week? I don't see any hands. Mine ain't up because I haven't had food in the last week, trust me. Family. Oh, man, family is awesome. You know, I know a few guys that are single, you know, the only kid in the family. And man, to hear their hearts around the holidays, their parents are passed away, they're lonely people. Family is wow, it's just the glue. It's a glue that it's just awesome. Now, if you're fighting with family, you better find a way to get over it, because it ain't going to be long and they'll be gone. And you'll be wondering, why? We've heard stories of brothers or sisters or family members that haven't talked for 30, 40, 50 years, and it's been over something stupid. You borrowed a tool and didn't put it back in the right place. That's craziness. But we can argue over anything. That is not a heart of Thanksgiving. We thank God for our jobs, water, God himself, health, on it goes. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thess 5:18. And it reads, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. So what does in everything mean? Does that mean all? Does that mean from the time you get up to the time you retire again that night? And even the blessings that you don't even know has happened while you're sleeping through that night? Is that not your family members, your kids that are grown in another house? They're in that they're safe, that they're warm, that they're in a good spot. In everything, he says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For this is the heart of God for you, for me, for us, that we give thanks in everything. Why do we want to give thanks? Why doesn't God want a lot of people who give gripes in everything? Well, just go to your office most days. Go to your job. Go to the grocery store. Get on the Gene Snyder. Give the bird in every passer that goes by you. You know, there's just nothing happy out there. So it doesn't take you long to figure out why giving thanks is an important thing. To give thanks in the guy going around me. Because he was riding my bumper so close that I was real thankful he just got away from me. So is that a proper heart? I guess it's better than me slamming on my brakes and trying to get frustrated and go into road rage and all that. And you're speaking from an ex-road rage master. That has been me years ago. So I know what I speak. I have chased people down in their parking lots and pulled them out of their vehicles. And I get to the end of that and I go, why'd you do that? And sometimes you grab somebody out of their vehicle and you go, uh-oh. I think I grabbed a hold of more than I should have even been messing with, and this ain't so good. I know none of you guys are like that, okay? An old Nebraska boy, that's what you're looking at. We didn't have much sense when it came to road rage. We just went and did our thing and thought everybody else should conform. But now that the Lord has called me out of that, and He says, Burke, that ain't what I want for you anymore. I want you to give thanks in all things. I want you to give thanks in driving up the Gene Snyder. I want you to give thanks in the breath I gave you this morning as you woke up, the bed you woke up in, the food you're going to have, that shower you're going to get, in all of these things. So let's talk about building a life of thanksgiving. And in that, let's parallel that with how do you build muscle? Okay. Now, I'm not real educated, and I don't go out and build a lot of muscle. A lot of you guys go to the gym, you work out. But the physiology of muscle growth, see, so you go to Google, you can Google anything and find out your info. So that's where I went. So after you work out, your body repairs or replaces damaged muscle fibers through a cellular process where it fuses muscle fibers together to form new muscle proteins. These strands, or myofibrils, okay, that word was even difficult for me. These repaired myofibrils increase in thickness and number to create muscle hypertrophy, in other words, growth, okay? All right, thank you, all you nurse-type ladies and doctors and those in the healthcare. I like that. I knew I could get help with that if I struggled long enough. Muscle growth occurs whenever the rate of the muscle protein synthesis is greater than the rate of the muscle protein breakdown. Okay? So you go and you work out, you get all these weights and you do all this, and a couple days later, as the muscles cool down, they've broken down, they gain, and you begin to get bulkier because you're adding more proteins in there and they build more muscle. The same thing happens when we begin to be people of thanksgiving, when we begin to be people of praise. We begin to build a roadway in the brain and in the heart, from the brain to the heart, from the mouth and the brain and the heart. And we get this interstate system going, that the praise, the thanksgiving, begins to be the first thing that comes out of your mouth, begins to be the first thing that happens in your brain every morning when you wake up. It begins to be the first thing when something happens to you that you begin to go, what good can I find in this situation? So you'd all say those are good things? Got one. Yes, yes. How many of you are there? How many of you get up thanking God? Got one, two, quite a few of you. That's good. Does it take long to lose that? Does it take long to lose that during the day, though? It can go really fast, can't it? If you're challenged, 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 you can get. But the more you exercise it, the more you make a habit of it, the more it comes to you. So again, I want to read this scripture, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He's speaking directly to you, Keegan. Be a man of thanksgiving. Start at your age, and this will be a lifestyle. This will be something. See, I started this at 50. What was yesterday? I was 55 yesterday. So at 55. So, but those are the things that the Lord wants. This is concerning me. The Lord was concerned. In everything, Bert gives thanks, for this is my will for you in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you give thanks, you aren't going to be near the maniac that everybody thinks you are. You're not going to be near the guy that's a radical running down the road. People, you can teach old dog new tricks through the Holy Spirit. That's right. Did you get that? So that myth is displaced. You can teach an old dog new tricks by using the power of the Holy Spirit in his life on a daily basis. You got to keep it before him, keep it before him. So most people are born with the ability to build muscles and can take from mom's arms to crawling, standing, running, and functioning daily. Most children can do that without any problem. Now, what if you were a bodybuilder or a weightlifter, you just wanted to get more ripped? Then you get out there and you do the going to the gym. I got a few buddies that every noon, you know, they're going to be over at the gym doing, what do you call that, TRX? XYZ? Something like that. So I know where I can find my buddy Rich about every day at noon. He's over at the gym building himself up, which is good. Now, that has not worn off on me yet. Thank you, Jesus. But that's what's happening there. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. Ephesians 5, 17 through 20. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Again, in Ephesians are talking about, in all things giving thanks to the Lord and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And he gives us some wise things not to do. But we should be speaking to ourselves in songs and hymns. We should be going down the roadway, singing and speaking to ourselves, looking like a couple nutcases. That guy's speaking to himself again. He's off his rocker a little bit. We went by somebody, a young lady the other day. Car looks over. She's worshiping the Lord. She's getting right after. I mean, she's driving and she's just singing. And I'm going, you know. So you go, is she all there or is she really worshiping the Lord? So you got that option. You're going to have people look at you and wonder, but you know what you're doing. So, and you're following the dictates of the Lord. So these verses are giving us advice and direction. And this is the Father God giving loving direction to his children. If you want things to go well, these are things you should start, okay? I'm headed somewhere with this. There's some really cool stuff further down if you already haven't found something. And he says, in all these things give thanks, speaking, singing, rejoicing, running, walking, breathing, listening, loving one another, again, in all things. And then in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, he goes, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do well and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Why would they go into this and talk about Hebrews and talk about this being a sacrifice? If it's such good stuff, if there's good coming out of it, why all at once are we talking about it being a sacrifice? So, you crawled in the van with your 8 kids this morning. You had to blow the tires up because they were flat before you got out there. They were flat yesterday, but you weren't getting out there yesterday because you had too many other things going on. And you was going to get it that night, but you just didn't get there. I know, because this is me. So we're brothers, whether you believe it or not. So you get out there and you get in the van, and your wife forgot her purse, so you got to go all the way back up the driveway, and you got to go in and get her purse. And while you're in there, can you grab Bobby Lou something to eat? Because he's hungry. He missed breakfast because he just didn't want to move very fast. He was watching TV. See, this is how it went at my house. So we get everybody back in the van. We get headed down, and the traffic is tough. Oh, by the way, the van was out of gas, and we had to stop. And from Fairdale to here is 25 miles, so we've got to get some gas. Or all 9, 10 of us are going to be walking, okay? So 8 kids and us in tow, we're going to be late for church if we don't get some gas. So we stop and get some gas. And while we get in the gas, our card won't work in the card slayer. You know, that never happens to you, I know, because you all got cash in your pocket to go in. But I spent my cash. I went to the movies, and I spent my whole month's allotment there. So anyways, we finally get to church. We get here, and we were going to have Panera rolls for breakfast, Rich, and you didn't bring enough. So now all my kids are hungry, and the coffee's horrible because Bert burnt the coffee this morning. And Stephen finally says, hey, it's time to start worship. Of course, Stephen didn't know he was supposed to start worship because Bert didn't let him know. But anyways, he did a good job of it. And so he starts worship, and the Lord says, I want you to get up and begin to sacrifice praise and worship unto me. I says, no way, Lord. You need to meet me here halfway. Now, he says, Bert, let me take you to Hebrews. By this, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This is the fruit of our lips and giving thanks. So as you give tithe from your money, so your lips give the first tithe of praise to God on a Sunday morning when you come in. It ain't up to Stephen and his wife. It ain't up to April and the gang. It ain't up to Suzanne and those that come in, or anybody that stands on the stage to lead you into worship. It's up to you to get up and give that first thanksgiving, that first praise. That's the sacrifice of praise. Remember the old song from years ago, those of you that have been in church forever? We bring you the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Yep, it has been around forever. If you've been in church forever, you've heard that song every Sunday for a lot of years. And we did that, they did that to bring that first fruits to the Lord. It is at the point of those first fruits when you begin to actually enter in and give, regardless what happened to you on the way, that God and the Holy Spirit come down and show up and begin to touch your heart and say, it's okay that you were a few minutes late today, Bert. It's okay that the coffee was burnt. You don't come here to drink coffee anyways. It's okay that you had to get gas. Plan a little better next time. He begins to comfort and to speak. But see, we expect the worship leader, we expect those to stand up here to take us into the realm. Now, they're gonna set the mode. They're going to be the doorkeepers. They're just like those ushers when you come up on Sunday morning. They're going to open the doors if you come, but they're not going to take and carry you across the threshold. That's up to you to get things going. It's up to you to reach for that handle. It's up to you to open those doors. This is a sacrifice from the heart. And I know you don't want to sacrifice. Who wants to sacrifice in the pain of a nasty morning or a cluttered morning? Because it's all about us at that point. Is it not? Or am I talking to me? Maybe you guys can just talk Bert off of this platform this morning. Because if you're anything like me, I want something in return. Lord, I showed up today. Can't I get something out of this? He says, the minute you give the sacrifice of praise, I'll open up doorways that you never even knew were possible. I'll open up places for you to go where you never even knew you could go into. And man, that's when worship gets sweet. You open up those sacrifice of praise, and you'll be up here looking for Pastor Jeff or the leader all the time going, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and this is what he says. And you know what? You're going to be excited about it. And it's going to beat a hole in your chest so bad that you just can't wait to get up there. And if they won't let you speak, you're going to go, what's wrong with them? Then we'll have another problem. But until then, let's not worry about that. Let's go back to the sacrifice of praise. So the writer in Hebrews has given us a heads up on the sacrifice of praise. When praise is being offered up continuously, it is referred to the first fruits of our mouth, and in this, God is well pleased. How many of you tithe and think it works? I do. I'm a double tithe, think it works type of guy. And I'm telling you what, somehow in the spiritual realm, when I pay money, it don't make sense. I don't have enough to pay my bills. But when I pay my tithe and begin to write out those checks, the Lord fills the hole. The numbers come together. The checkbook has enough. The end of the month has enough checks. Is that how that works? Yeah, I got enough checks to make it to the end of the month. That's how that works. And that's when God shows up. Same way when we begin to praise. Want to know how to please God? It's simple. Give him your sacrifice of praise. That's what the word just said. For this, when you do this, it is pleasing to God. Who doesn't want to please God? Have you ever thought of that way? We go into our homes, the kids come in, and we're hoping that the kids, when they come to that door, you haven't seen them, we're hoping they come straight to you and you get a hug and, oh, I missed you and all that. God wants the same thing. But who doesn't want to please their Heavenly Father? All my kids, you know, even when they're, even in all my dysfunction, they want to please me. And man, that makes an old guy feel good. That makes an old guy's week really well. If he's had a bad week and one of his daughters comes up and wants to hug on him, one of his son-in-laws comes up and wraps his arms around me and says, it'll be okay, old timer. One of your sons comes up, I got that one in Wisconsin's like a grizzly bear. When he hugs on me and likes to break me, he goes, Dad, I missed you. Man, that is pleasing. And that's what God thinks. But when you come and bring the praise, God's pleased. And when God's pleased, when Dad's pleased, when Grandpa's pleased, what happens? They're a generous bunch. Yes. You can pretty much wrap them around your finger and get just about anything you want. Well, within reason. Can't have a horse. Can't have no horses. Oh, I just got the look. Got the look. Horses are hay burners. Some people like them. I'm not into hay. Must be my hay fever. I don't know. When a person or church body question, slow down, or stop the act of sacrificial praise, this is when the atrophy of the Spirit begins to set in. When the atrophy of the Spirit begins to set in, what happens? We begin to criticize. I begin to complain. I begin to whine. The service is too long. I didn't like how the songs were put together this week. And this is me, guys. I'm not talking about I know some of you out there, we've had this conversation. You think you're talking about. No, I'm talking about me. I can get critical. But you know what? The minute I get critical, I got to ask God, what's going on inside of my heart? What's broke? What's off? What did I allow in this morning or this week, God, or this month that ain't there? And if I ain't asking that question, I better have one of my good buddies, my band of brothers in the foxhole asking me, what do you mean? The worship wasn't good. Did you go in and do anything for yourself? Or was it just all about you today? Yeah, it was. It really was. I needed it to be about me today. But that's what begins to happen, and I can complain, I isolate, I cause division, and I get critical. Okay. You guys didn't like that part too well. Yeah, I know. But if I come in with a heart of praise and I begin to look at things differently, didn't it sound a little different when I says we're having Christmas morning, but it ain't for you, it's for those that are coming in. Didn't that little bit of extra explanation help change your heart a little bit? You go, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that makes sense that somebody may come off that street and this is all they're going to get that day, is this service, this worship, this sacrifice that we're given of our traditions on that one Christmas morning. What's this happen, every seventh year or something like that? So I guess I can give that up. We praise God in everything. Okay, I don't want you to miss that. I put this in the middle so most of you will be in here. We praise God in everything. Not for everything. There's a difference. I do not praise God for the motor blowing up my car. But I can praise God in the process that God, thank God it blew up here in the yard and not on the highway. And just didn't stop. Thank God that my wife wasn't out there with the kids or the grandkids. Find something to praise in the situation, not for. It's pretty hard to tell somebody that's just lost a loved one. They fought the good fight and they've gone home to be with Jesus. Well, you should thank God for that. Give the sacrifice of praise for your husband dying, your wife dying, your grandpa, your grandma dying. How silly is that? But we as the church have done that forever. Because we pull the verse out of Romans that says, in all things God brings together those things. But in all things, let's find praise and something to worship and to thank God for. And I'm telling you what, that's when God shows up. That's when God seals the deal for you. Let me bring some scripture and show you. Back in Romans in Acts, when Paul and Silas, they were out preaching the gospel, And so the religious leaders and the Romans and all, they says, hey, they're talking bad about you Romans, and they're talking about religious things that, man, we don't even do those things. We need you to lock them up. Better yet, why don't you just strip them down and beat on them for a while? And so they did. They went to whooping on Paul and Silas. So then the leaders brought him to the jailer, and they says, lock these dudes up, keep them chained together, and you keep a good eye on them. And so they went in there, and Paul and Silas were sitting in there. And I think when you got beat by the Romans, you pretty much got rotted, you got thrashed pretty good the way history talks about it. So they were bruised to the bone. They were bruised bad. And then the jailer put them in shackles on their ankles, on their wrists, and sometimes around their neck. And they weren't kind. If you had a size, whatever I got here, big Bubba neck, that little thing, they just kept putting the screws down, and it got pretty bad. So Paul and Silas sitting there, and they go, well, you can just hear the two. What? How are you doing? Well, how do you think I'm doing, Silas? I got beat as bad. I think I got beat worse than you did. No, you didn't. You didn't see that one guy. He was bigger than the guy beating on you. And so they're going back and forth. What should we do? Well, I know. Let's pray. See, the scripture says first they prayed, and then they began to sing praise songs unto the Lord. So they begin to pray and say, oh, Lord, we took a pretty good beating in there, but we knew it was for your glory. We knew it was for what you had called us for at this time, this moment. And in that, Lord, we bring the sacrifice of praise into this jail, this nasty place. You know, they got to singing their little song, whatever they sang in them days. They sang a lot of scripture back in them days. And I know they sang better than I just did, but that's okay. So anyways, they begin to sing, and all at once, it says that about the midnight hour, an earthquake hit and began to shake the very foundations of the jailhouse. And with that, the doors of the jail flung wide open, and their shackles fell off. Well, the guard wakes up in the midst of all this commotion, and he begins to go pull his sword. He's going to fall on his sword because he knows, I just will do that because they're going to do much worse to me. They're going to skin me alive when they say these boys are gone, because his job was to keep them safe. So he's ready to fall. He's got his sword out, and he's ready to fall on it, which I think is crazy. I mean, shoot, if I'm going to go, I'm going to take a couple with me. I'm not going to go alone. I mean, gosh, do you know the Lord? No, well, you better, because we're about to go have a hoedown here. But no, that ain't what the Lord wanted. But so anyways, Paul comes out, and it's dark in there, and he says, stop, we're all here and accounted for. The jailer says, bring me some lights. This is all in scripture, you know this? I'm telling the story accurate too, just to the T. I might have added a little bit here. So anyways, they bring a light in there, and they see it's all there. This jailer falls down. He sees they're out of their shackles. They could have ran, they should have been ran. And he falls down in front of him. He says, what must I do to be saved? Now, not only the jailer heard him singing and carrying on, everybody in the jailhouse, they had a jailhouse rock going on that night. And it only talks about the jailer getting saved, but I'm not so sure that the whole jailhouse didn't get saved that night. And so the jailer says, this ain't enough. So he took him home, got them all patched up. The whole family got saved. So in the beatings, in the persecution, Paul and Silas prayed and brought thanksgiving. And Jesus showed up in their thanksgiving. Now, was Jesus going to show up before that? The scripture's kind of written that he wasn't. It was in that he showed up. And I think the scriptures wrote that way for the purpose to prove to us that in our desires, in our darkest hours, Jesus shows up. So some of you that know Carr and I know this story, it wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago or so, car was in a, how many years you were in that accident? Huh? 16 years ago. Okay, I was off a few years. I'm always off a few years. When I guess your age, if I ever get in a booth, I'll always be off a few years. So, if we ever have a carnival like that, that is. Yeah. So anyways, we had, car got hit by a truck. We got in this great big lawsuit thing. I was banking, you know, I'm a greedy man. Look at your Pastor Bert, he's greedy. Everybody say, Pastor Bert's greedy. No, don't do that. So anyways, so we were going through this. We went to court. Man, I got slammed. I got jammed. I got accused for being the guy that instigated the accident. I got accused for leaving my wife. I was worse than an infidel by the time I left the thing. I was beat and bruised when we left that courtroom. They pretty much told me, go on home, pal. You lose, and you take everything that you spent in the two, three, four, five years getting her healthy, and you get all those bills as well. And I'm going, I was devastated because I couldn't see how this could go south because I was not in the wrong, and I really to this day wasn't in the wrong. But Carr and I are driving home, and it's around Christmas time, and I'm defeated. I'm beat. I'm bruised. I've had it. And I says, what do we do now? You know, we're trying to figure all this out. What do I do now? And so she's talking how she feels too, you know, and she's still sick. There's no money to get her any better and all of these things. And on the way home, the Lord put clear down in my heart. He says, clear back when. I used to have an old song that you sang. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I know, this is old school. This is where we come from. But I'm telling you what, old school comes to the rescue many times. Because as we begin to sit there, and I says, I got you yet. Some of that heaviness began to fall off. She says, you were with me, and you've been with me through this whole thing. We've got a home to go home to. We got food to go home to. We got a church and we got family. We got a God that saved us. Because God, guys, I'm telling you what, I saw that semi coming down on her that day. And that dude was in a whiteout blizzard, about to eat her car, and the snowplow was going the other direction. I could see him coming, and I go, dear Jesus, if you could save my sweetheart in that car, I will remember you and worship you forever. And the semi did hit her car, but it was just about the time the words were finished, the hand of the Lord halted it, and it was done. And to this day, I still tell this story and thank God that it was his hand was the only thing that stopped that truck that day. Because it ate over the top. The front end of that grill was at the back of her head in that car that day. So we're here we had an evangelist in here, and he was talking about the red zone, and he's talking about things in your life and all. And my wife's standing up here. I'm up there alongside her, and we've got it's a morning session with this evangelist, and we're worshiping. And the sacrifice of praise for my wife at that time was very painful. You could see her lift her arms. There'd be times I'd come up and cuddle in underneath her and help hold her arms up because she just loved the Lord. She loved to worship. And it was in one of those moments through that morning that as she was worshiping that God healed her totally from fibromyalgia and everything that touched her. In the sacrifice of praise, God came and healed. I'm not saying what you're going through today is easy. I'm not saying what you're going through with a broken relationship, with the loss of a job. You may have lost a loved one. You may have something so paramount before you this next season that, Pastor Bert, you just don't understand. I'm not asking you to thank God for those things. Do they pass by God and then are allowed? They say they are. But what I'm asking you is, when you're in those things, Thank God for where you're at and what you got going on right now. Thank God for the good things that's actually happening right now. And what do you want to do in the future? And see if God doesn't come to your rescue. See if God don't come and bring peace. How do you walk through the death of a loved one? Peace. Peace that goes beyond all our understanding. How do you walk through financial debt that's just smothering you? God, I need peace. God, I need a car by Monday. Mine just blew up. I don't know how I'm going to make it to work. And all at once. But I praise you for the one I had. And I'm going to praise you for the one you're going to bring. Because all I got is delivered. Because my bank account can't go out and buy a new one. And in that peace, he restores. He brings. If I polled the audience this morning, we'd find peace upon peace upon peace where God has just brought you. You've lost sons and daughters. You've lost husbands. You've lost wives. The enemy's cruel, people. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's come to tear apart every fiber of your life. He's come to tear apart relationships and friends, fathers and sons and daughters, mothers and daughters, parents, family of all sorts. But in those things, thank God. Not for those things. Let's take that mystery thing that the church has always done. We thank God for all things because he's in them. No, God's in them. But in those things, not. I'm not going to thank God for those things no more. I'm not thankful for someone dying in my life. I'm not thankful for a car accident. I'm not thankful for. But in these things, I thank that I've got a God that loves me and a family that stands beside me and a church I can come in and be ministered to. And I've got a home I can go to. And I've got children that will hug on me. You know what? There's nothing cooler than a child that hugs on you and loves you. I'm going to tell you a little story here, and then I'm going to close out here. We'll have Stephen, if you can come. Those of you on the prayer team, if you'll come up. But we were at dinner last night, and at our dinner table, it was Carr, I, Fuzz, and Wesley, the talking squirrel. So the talking squirrel, he had a busy day. It was cold, and he wanted to watch cartoons for part of the day, and so he laid around there, And then Nana says, hey, it's pretty nice outside. So he goes out and plays for a while. And then he says, it's too cold out there. So he's back in. And so we're at the dinner table. And I says, who wants to pray? I says, Wes, will you pray? Squirrel, will you pray? Yeah. And you don't think they get what's going on. You don't think that they're hearing what's going on in children's church. But he gets down there and he goes, oh, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit. He says, would you please come and watch over us? He says, the devil, he's coming and he wants to tear us apart and he wants to destroy us. But do you think you and you, God, and you, Jesus, you could come and whoop on him and push him back? Now, these might not be the exact words, but this dude went on and on and on. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, holy smokes, he's been listening to somebody do warfare. And he goes, Do you think you can just kick them back for a while and we'll keep praying and this will get better and in your holy name, amen. And I'm going, wow. Thank you, Lord, for he's catching what's being put before him. For those of you that don't think your kids, your grandkids are getting anything, trust me, they're hearing, they're applying, And it's making a difference. So in your problem this morning, I'm not asking you to come up here this morning and be prayed for your problem, but we're going to come up, and if you just want to talk to the Lord, if you just need to hear from somebody, confess something to somebody, you just need to come and have someone cry on your shoulder, you cry on their shoulder. Pastor Burt's had those days where, man, I just need a brother to cry on. When my wife ain't around, I gotta find a brother that I can just lean into and go, you know what, life stinks right now. But in this, I want to invite the Lord for this to come and be fruitful, I've got to come with a heart of thanksgiving right where I'm at. So if you need prayer this morning, there's man trusted people everywhere's here.